angry hysteria bastards out there and non-bastards. I'm all inclusive to another episode of Blurry Hysteria. What's going on, my good friend?
Oh, not much. Just bastarding it up over here.
Yeah, I'm one of the blurry bastards. I don't know if you know that or not.
It's pretty good. I like that.
You blur- Shoot,
if I'd have thought about that 10 years ago.
you blurry bastards.
Yeah.
You bastards. I
squandered that opportunity.
Yeah, what were you doing? You really letting me down on this.
Blurry bastards.
So what's going on in your neck of the woods? Anything new?
Same old. Lots of trivia going on.
Oh, man, I know you got like back-to-back trivias and you're... We were trying to like schedule some upcoming stuff in the future and you're like, nope, 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 busy, nope, don't like you enough for that day. No, you're always busy. And then like every time I talk to you, you're like, yeah, I got a new book coming out. I audio did this and did that. And, oh, and I've been working nonstop in this movie. And oh, by the way, I'm also now a CPA. Not really, but you know, it feels like you're just trying to show me up with your resume. And that bothers me is what I'm getting at.
Well, I'm doing it to get to you.
That's the only reason. Basically. I only better myself because I hate you.
I don't care about making money or getting teaching people things or entertaining. No, man. I just want to show Brent Hand up. And my job is not done.
Do you better yourself because it makes you feel better? No, I do it out of spite.
Exactly.
Do it for the same reason everyone does, to piss off someone else. Yeah,
the only thing that motivates me these days.
Right. I tell you what, so we're bringing them in. Thomas Ford, thank you so much for sending this article in. And it's close to my heart. And it's close to the heart of a lot of you freaks out there because it's a tentacle bastards. Monster. It's close to the hearts of a lot of you blurry bastards out there with your tentacle porn and all that crazy shit that kids are doing these days. Rare and bizarre tentacle trailing sea creature caught on video. Expedition scientist's mind is blown, they say. It is a very weird looking, and it's not an octopus or a squid that I would call it. And there's footage and everything you can watch. New footage showing a giant, peculiar-looking tentacled sea creature floating languidly, I don't even know that word, in the depths of the Pacific Ocean has left researchers questioning if what they're seeing is a new species because it is odd-looking. Says the scientists spotted the strange animal while on board the EV Nautilus, a research vessel used by the Ocean Exploration Trust.
Come on, guys. Can we name our submersibles something?
Not a Nautilus
fresh,
something?
For
yeah.
fuck's sake. Like, Nautilus has been used since the 19th century and probably before.
This is the Sinky McBubble Blower.
Thank you.
That's
all I'm asking.
In a Come recently on. Released video, which you can, I love they have in parentheses, opens in a new tab if you click on it.
Hey. But seriously, thank you, everybody who makes links on sites that open in new tabs.
Yes. Amen, it's actually. Nice. I almost made fun of that. You're right. I don't want to have to then hit the center button on the back so it opens up a new tab. So I go back to where I was. You got, oh, my God. It's the little things. It's the heroes, those unsung heroes of our world.
This is what you start appreciating after 40.
So it says, the expedition researchers oohed and awed as images of the bizarre creature came into focus. My mind is blown right now, one of the scientists on board can be heard saying. I'm saying this like it's not. If I saw a tentacle monster anywhere in my life, I'd be like, well, goddamn. You know, I'd probably ooh and ah quite a bit too. I'm on the edge of my seat. He says, what is it? Because I'm not on the edge of my seat or anything. He quipped, meaning saying it jokingly. Like, oh my God, this is crazy. The tentacles extended 16 inches or 40 centimeters if you're from every other place in the world from a nearly 7 foot long or 2 meter stalk and a single feeding polyp with barbed tentacles cupping a polyp like spiky petal. The creature resembled a very strange free swimming flower that was roughly the size of the ROV, and it was spotted July 7th at 9,823 feet or 2,994 meters below the surface near this previously unexplored seamount north of the Johnson Atoll out in the Pacific, Hawaii, all that stuff. Researchers initially suspected that it crossed paths with this thing, also called the Solumbella sea pen. S-O-L-U-M-B-E-L-L-U-L-A, Solumbellula sea pen. And but then they think that, nope, it's a new species. And I bet it's delicious because it's got lots of tentacles and they are always, always. Ugh. Oh, man, I love them. I love it. You don't like them?
Mm. Big time nausea.
Oh, God.
Let me ask you, is it attached or coming out of the sea floor?
So it's hard to tell. It looks like a flower, but it's free swimming. 7 feet okay. long overall, but it's a creature. It's alive. It's not attached.
So that stalk, that very long, thin stalk.
Is part of it. Just it's free flowing. Yes. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
The picture makes it look like a squid with just a very long antenna coming out of its head.
It says sea pens, which I think this is what this is, reach maturity at 5 or 6 years of age and can live more than
a
decade.
Is that short for sea penises?
I'm trying to
sea pen 15s.
sea pen 15. I'm trying to see what this is. Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks similar to, but it's just different than the other. I'm trying to find out. I mean, I guess they can move around, but I bet they anchor themselves with that stalk to the ground.
Yeah, maybe. It is, and or it's a camouflage kind of thing where it kind of looks like a flower or something coming out of the that's growing out of the seabed.
That, okay, using their root like peduncles, P-E-D-U-N-C-L-E, penduncles. They're root like P-E-D-U-N-C-L-E-S. They anchor themselves to sandy or muddy substrate. So yeah, they can move around, but they use that to hold themselves where they're at. So yeah, there you go. Peduncles. Nice. P-E-D. That thing's got a nice what? Peduncle. I see your peduncle is as big as mine. So it sounds like it's a new sea pen.
They are way behind the... fucking Missy Elliott discovered this thing years ago, I'm sorry to say.
Don't play that in backwards. I don't know what I said.
This is just a squid that's put down, flipped in, reversed. Right?
It's got his tongue sticking to the ground so it doesn't float away. They dared it to put its tongue on the floor. It was cold. It stuck there. So that's what we're getting at here. We got links to this if you want to see it. I don't know that we're doing it justice. It's weird looking. And it's got tentacles. So if you're not into that, don't look at it because that can be things of horror to some people. Yeah.
It looks like something out of a sci-fi movie where they a humankind goes to another planet and it's all of this fresh plant life.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is so pretty, and then it eats them. It's like a flower that's like,
why are you coming over here? Why is it coming right at me? Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
You're right. Right. Huh. Well, let's go to break real quick, and when we come back, we'll rinse the tentacle taste out of your mouth with something new from Mr. Flora. That's after the break on Blurry Hysteria. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
That's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, learn how to speak.
And our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and There's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
All right, sir. What can you top that sea penis with?
Well, I'll tell you what, from making your stomach hurt from how gross this is to making your mind hurt, I got an article called Does Reality Exist When We're Not Looking?
Oh, that is something it blows my mind. You're right. Like, if I'm not looking behind me, is it not rendered?
Right.
If I turn fast enough, can I beat the the computer? Like, we didn't have those pixels ready yet. Ah, crap. That's how you spin around too many times and you get all dizzy.
Yeah, exactly.
We're asking questions we're not supposed to know.
Yeah, built-in mechanism of the universe to make you wait until they've got it rendered. But this comes out of some thought experiments in quantum physics. Specifically superposition, and that, classic, thought experiment of Schrödinger's cat.
All this is just giving me a headache even trying to think about it, because that's is not supposed to be known, but keep going.
So it has to do with, how they measure electrons, and, you know, the superposition, theory of quantum mechanics, says basically when you try to observe an electron, mm-hmm. you won't be able to see it. But if you don't try and observe it, you'll know where it is.
Yeah.
So looking at it changes where it is.
Is it a wave, or is it a, you know, what do they call it? The way it reacts changes whether you're looking at it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be... That the superposition part of it is that it's in two places at once kind of thing, but it's so weird and such a mind clusterfuck that they've been grappling with this stuff, and so they've applied it further to what is observable, what's testable, what's physical, and is everything just there when someone's observing it. And when they're not observing it, it's anywhere and nowhere.
Right.
Right. So
I say right, like, yep, I completely understand.
Like you fully comprehend, I fully comprehend the explanation that I'm saying. Schrodinger actually was, the cat experiment was kind of making fun of this idea, and it's the reason he quit quantum mechanics. And the Schrodinger's cat thought experiment is, if you put a cat in a box and a something radioactive, like a piece of radioactive isotope, mm-hmm. in there, depending on how long it takes the isotope to decay in its half-life, the cat is either dead or it's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know until you observe it. Right. And so
at the same time, it's too. Yes. Yeah.
And so,
spin versus wavelength, it's dead versus not dead. And it makes it something that we can understand.
He's saying that before you observe it, it's both dead and alive. And he's like, and that's just a ridiculous way of thinking about it. And that's. I think it's funny that that was kind of like satire, like physics satire, because, you know, everybody has kind of latched onto that that theory of his, that thought experiment, mm-hmm. of the cat, and, you know, people are pretty familiar with that these days. But it's a way of bringing the superposition of electrons up into something that, you know, we can try to start to understand.
Right.
And so it's the same way with, and this is it's not something new or a discovery or anything in this article. It's just basically saying this is what people are talking about these days. One of the theories that's going around, if you're not physically observing something, does it even exist? And, you know, this is something that's also thought about in philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And has been thought about for hundreds of years.
And the back room at a lot of head shops. So, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, it's a way of trying to parse out what we're seeing in quantum mechanics with just basically the philosophy of, like, what is this stuff?
Right.
Why are we here? It reminds me of... And it's probably not connected at all, but it reminds me of the school of philosophy of empiricism, where only things that we can measure and detect with our senses are what exists and what matters, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this to me, this is connected in that way, where if we can reach out and touch it, if we can look at it, if we can hear it, whatever, then it's there. But if it can't, is it? And that's a Buddhist thought, you know, if a tree falls in the woods.
Well, it's like they say, those who can do and those who can't, no one's looking at them right now. That's the only problem. So that's the way that works.
And that's why people are so loud these days. And that's why they win arguments.
Look at me.
So, yeah, it's just one of those real fun things with quantum theory that
real fun, air quotes, as I'm getting a nosebleed for some reason trying to think about it.
It's silly in a way to think about.
No, it is fun. I'm just being, you know.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like, you know, what? Not everybody's looking at all the stars in the galaxy, mm-hmm. at any given moment, like,
right.
But obviously there's still there are asteroids that are out there,
mm-hmm.
that are moving through space right now. They're still moving, even though nobody has seen them. Right.
Right.
You would think, unless it's all just a giant simulation and we're just, they render in when it gets near our field of view.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a crazy fun thing to think about.
Yeah, it is. That's it is fun. Yeah. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to try to speculate.
It's fun to not completely understand.
Yeah, you know, but it seems like I like these super heady things that also are such an easy question to pose.
Yeah.
And then people go, well, I'm going to make that my life work now. You know, that's just weird sure. how that works. I don't know. Hey,
sure.
If someone wants to give us a one of these heady things to talk about, how do they do it? How do they get it to our attention so that it actually becomes something?
It's super easy for this. You'll be in a super position.
It's super positionable.
Something to talk about. If you send a news story to weird@hysteria51.com.
I'll give them something.
W-E-I-R-D at hysteria51.com.
Yeah, get them to us. We'll give you a shout out when we talk about it on here and I get a nosebleed from trying to figure it out. It'll be lots of fun. Nothing to see here, you looky loose. yeah, keep them coming. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time on Blurry Hysteria.
Bye.
Meeting adjourned. Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.